I know it's here somewhere. Finally. Oh, it's time for the doc. You're listening to Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. Take it away, doctor.
Well, it's that time again, and the doctor is in. It's time once again for Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. And I'm trying a few things this week. On the lighting, we have new lighting. It may be just a little on the bright side, but I'm thinking it's going to be okay. I may need to light the background up just a tad. But that's okay. We'll keep tweaking. I know most of you could care less, as the saying goes. Although if you could care less, then it means you care a little. So I'll take that. I'll take what I can get. We are proud members of the Tech Podcast Network, techpodcast.com. If it's tech, it's right here on Dr. Bill the Computer Curmudgeon. We're also proud members of the Internet Let's try that again, shall we? The Internet Association, that's not right. The International Association of Internet Broadcasters. See, I confused myself. The International Association of Internet Broadcasters. Yes, Fred. Just hang it up. Okay. An auspicious start to this particular show, but that's okay. We're going to deal. It's been a while since we've done a show. I've had many irons in the fire, and because of the irons that I have had in the fire, they've gotten hot, got a little melty. Now, iron gets all red and cool looking. Anyway, I announced in the various shows that I have been doing, Chromist, VertZine, Handheld Hack, that those shows are kaput. They are no more. They have sailed into the sunset, so to speak. Now, that means the websites are now gone. I deleted them. It means that the tech podcast feeds are gone. The Blueberry feeds are gone. Everything that has to do with VertZine and Chromist and Handheld Hack are gone, except YouTube. If you would like to view older programs of those shows, you could go to YouTube, and I've compiled a playlist of each one of those shows complete in its entirety. You could actually watch them all the way through, should you desire to. I know some of you are just chomping at the bit, wanting to do that. I actually had somebody on Facebook when I announced that I was shutting down these shows. They sent me a little angry emoji. Dude, really aren't happy that I'm shutting down those shows. You know, just chill. Because what I'm going to do, all the tech content that would have been on those shows will be here on the DrBill.tv, the Computer Curmudgeon Show. Okay? So it's not like I won't be doing any VertZine stuff anymore with virtualization. I'm wearing a VMware shirt. Okay? So, have a little hair there. I got my hair cut just moments ago, right before I came in. I went to Great Clips and had my hair cut. It's a little, because of the hat, it's a little messed up, but it's all cut. Yes, I like the hat. The hat covers a multitude of sins. But I had the beard trimmed and I've got hair all over me. Yeesh. Anyway, I feel like I'm ready for summer now. It's my summer cut. I feel like a horse or something, get my summer cut. But anyway, I don't know if horses get it. Probably they get haircuts. At least their tail, mane thing, whatever. Anyway, so I'm shutting those shows down. Wow. I went all around my elbow to get to that. Also, next item. Microsoft has released a phishing, P-H-I-S-H-I-N-G, phishing, anti-phishing plugin. Now, you may say to yourself, you may say, Why would I trust Microsoft to give me a security plugin? I have no idea. I felt the same thing. Wow. But they claim, now this is a neat little marketing ploy on their part, they claim that if you use this plugin in Chrome, it will make Chrome as secure as Microsoft Edge. Yeah, you see what they did there? Uh-huh. They got to plug Edge over Chrome by saying our plugin makes Chrome safer. Yeah, about that. But I installed it because I want to be protected from fish as much as anybody. No, that's not what phishing is all about. I know that. Anyway, PH phishing is where they try to attack you as you go by their website, or they may fish for your information that you might give them if you're not very bright. At any rate, it's a plug-in, so try it. You might like it. I don't know if you'll like it or not. It's from Microsoft, after all. Anyway, Windows April update, what I call the 1803 update, because that's the number of the update, but it's the Microsoft Windows 10 Spring Creators Update, which I just call 1803 because it's easier. Anyway, I tried to do this update on one of my computers, and admittedly, this particular computer was a little long in the tooth, been around a long time, and it was an odd brand. It was a Gateway, and it just would not do the 1803 update, no matter what I did. Every time I would reboot after the update, it would come up with just a black screen. You could move the mouse around, but there was nothing else there. And finally, if you rebooted, it would say, oops, you rebooted in the middle of an update. We're going to try to recover your old version of Windows. And it would do that and recover it, but you couldn't do the update. Now, I'm one of those guys that I got to do updates. It's just part of my DNA to do updates. So I said, this will not do. But, you know, you got to stay secure. I do a lot of stuff on the web. I got to stay secure, okay? So I struggled, and I struggled, and I struggled, and I tried, and I tried, and I did everything I could. And I even saw online that somebody had, that's my phone. My phone always rings when I'm doing a show. But I'm not going to answer it. They're just going to have to go to voicemail. There you go. Anyway, sigh. It is distracting, however, for my brain to hear that. So hopefully it will stop here in a moment, and my brain will continue to work. Thank you. Anyway, yes, Fred, it does actually work. Give me a break. He always does that. Throws a little zinger in. Anyway, here's the thing. The Creators Update for April 1803 has been causing a lot of people problems, okay? They get the black screen like I did, or there's other issues going on. What I ended up doing, believe it or not, because this machine was so old, I went ahead and got a newer machine. Not a new one, okay, but a refurbished one, a Dell 9010, which I already had a Dell 9010 that I currently am using for a virtual server. See, there's the virtualization again. I'll be using for a virtual server. It has 32 gig in it, and it's working really, really well. Very, very nice machine. So I had a chance on eBay to get one of these same exact machines, exact same configuration, except instead of 32 gig of memory, it's got 16, which I did myself. I upgraded it to 16, and it is smoking. It's an i7, 3.2 gigahertz, which will go up to 3.9 gigahertz on Turbo Boost. Nice machine. So I'm using that. And that did the upgrade with no problems whatsoever. It has the advantage of being a Dell, which is nice, and also being a more recent machine. So there you go. Now, next item, VPN. I've told you you need to use VPN. I use VPN all the time right here on my computer that is sitting here in front of me, the Dell 9010, the aforementioned Dell 9010 that I use, has VPN on it. And I use a VPN from a company called PIA, which I've mentioned before, Private Internet Access. Very, very good VPN, high quality, well recommended by a lot of people, including myself, and I like it a lot. But a lot of people are kind of cheaping out and using free VPNs. So this article that I posted here from ZDNet by David Gewertz, not sure how to pronounce his name, but at any rate, he writes a really nice little article here. And I like his tone. I like his approach. He starts it off by talking about TANSTAAFL, which is a Robert Heinlein expression from his book that basically is an acronym for there ain't no such thing as a free lunch. And then he goes on to explain that free VPNs can be troublesome, irksome, and have privacy concerns of their own from the company that provides the free VPN. Encourage you to read the article because it's really, it'll put you in the right frame of mind to realize that you need to go ahead and pay for a good, high-quality VPN. But you need to do that because VPNs are, these days particularly, very necessary. Now, the next item is that Smash Bros. For the Nintendo Switch is coming out. Now, this is in a way, old news because it was announced some time ago that they were going to do Smash Bros. For the Nintendo Switch. But the new news, is that there's going to be new characters available for you Nintendo Switch users like my son, the Game Master. He's excited about the Switch. He likes it. And I got to admit, I like it too. It looks really cool. I haven't actually played on it because I'm not much of a gamer, but he really likes it a lot. And Smash Bros. Is one of my favorite games, one of the few games I do play, because I play Donkey Kong as Donkey Kong. And that's one where you could just push the buttons, and Donkey Kong will do silly, crazy things, and it's a lot of fun, and I don't have to think about it. I try not to think. Yes, Fred, that's why. Good old Fred, he's always throwing one in there, like I said. But anyway, he's in rare form this week. But, so, I like push the buttons, and of course the Game Master goes, why don't you strategize? Why don't you really play the game? It's just not the way I do things. I like randomness, as you may have noticed. At any rate, so it's coming out, and they're going to have characters from Splatoon available, as well as other characters for the Nintendo Switch. Okay, next item. This one excites me a lot. As you can see here from the screen, this is the new GIMP. GIMP 2.10, the GIMP. Now that stands for Graphical Image Manipulation Program. Okay? Not for somebody that is walking with a limp. Okay? And we're not going politically incorrect there at all. It just happens to be the name of the program is the GIMP, okay? So it's at GIMP.org, G-I-M-P, Graphic Image Manipulation Program.org. And I encourage you to download it and check it out. It's got a whole new interface. Took a little getting used to, but I like it a lot. And it seems to be faster than the old one was. And I like it. I downloaded it, installed it on my machine, using it. Really, really like the GIMP. And if you're a graphics manipulating kind of a guy, then you will enjoy the GIMP. Okay? So check that out. It's not exactly like Photoshop. I never really got into Photoshop that much. I have used it. But I've always used the GIMP, and I really, really like it. Whoa! Speaking of Fred has just reminded me that I kind of skipped over the Geek Software of the Week, so he threw that in there and said, hey, wake up, do the Geek Software of the Week. Yes, Fred. Okay. The Geek Software of the Week this week is EM Client. EM Client stands for Electronic Messaging Client. So if you've used Thunderbird in the past and you want a more up-to-date, more modern email client for your local install on your local machine, check out EM Client. It has all kinds of modern stuff. It has calendars, tasking, contacts, even chat available. And it has all kinds of things to boost your productivity. So check out EM Client. The URL for that, I have a link in the blog, but it's emclient.com. They have a free version, and they have a pro version that you have to pay for. But the free version is, as you might imagine, free. So check that out. Now, the last thing I want to mention here on the program this week, I know we've been late on this, is GDPR. GDPR is the European Union's opportunity to give us Americans a hard time. At least that's what it seems like. I like what Marques Brownlee said in a tweet a few days ago. I retweeted it because it was so good. He says, imagine yourself on a desert island. You're minding your own business. You go down to the shore to put your feet in the water, and you notice a bottle. So you pick the bottle up. You look at it, and you see there's a note inside. So you pull the note out, you open it up, and it says, please agree to our new privacy policy. Yes, you've probably been getting lots of emails about, please agree with our new privacy policy. That's because of the GDPR. The GDPR is the General Data Protection Regulation. I had to look past the camera there to see it on the screen behind it. But at any rate, the GDPR is the European Union reacting to the whole Facebook craziness of people getting upset about their data being used, which I still say is silly, but whatever. Whatever you tell people on the internet, it's going to hit the entire world. Just bank on that. However, there is one provision about the GDPR that I really, really like, and that is the whole notion, which I think agrees with the whole net neutrality position that I have of the net should be neutral. Well, this should be true too, and that is that your data belongs to you. So if you think someone has gotten your data, and probably indeed they have, you can ask the company to send you everything they have on you, okay? So you could write Apple, for instance, and say, hey, according to the GDPR, please send me all the data you have collected on me. And then you can see that they have your credit card, and they have your address, and they have your phone number, and they have the name of your firstborn, and they have everything else, but at least you know that they have it, okay? Whoa. But at least it belongs to you, right? You should be able to determine your data's content and use from all these companies. And I like that part about it. I don't like the fact that because of that, all these companies are making you read their privacy agreements or ignore them, but at least you're getting all these emails with all these GDPR. Oh, yeah, check out our privacy policy. And as it turns out, the people that are putting out the new privacy policies may not even be covered for the GDPR. They may still be sued by European lawyers that are trying to make $11 million off of people not complying with the GDPR. So, it is not a good time to have a website that has customers that you collect data about, okay? I used to have a business online that sold low-carb foods called the Low Carb Nexus, and we had customers that we had all their information and so forth to be able to ship them their orders. If I still had that today, I'd be right in the middle of this whole GDPR thing. Whew. So I'm glad that we sold that business way back in 2004. Okay, so I am no longer connected with any of that, and I don't have to do anything with the GDPR except get all these emails from all the companies and forums and things that I've signed up for throughout the years. And that's a lot of stuff, I'm telling you. Anyway, hope you found all this interesting, entertaining, and at least a little silly, because we're here for the silliness. That is, in fact, our purpose. As I said, we've shut down all the other shows. The only shows we have left now are the Dr. Bill Show, this show here, and the Word of Faith Netcast, where we teach the Word, and a little bit of traditional naturopath, where I talk about traditional naturopathic natural health things. However, I haven't done one of those shows in many years. But I may get around to doing it again. It's audio only, so I might actually do one of those one day. Hang in there and see if I do. It's still one of the most popular shows I do, even though that's so old, but all the information out there is still current and, germane to your natural health. So check that out, if you will, at traditionalnaturopath.com. I'll throw that plug in there so you can go check it out. But at any rate, yes, I have a PhD in theology and a ND in natural health, which is a naturopathic doctor. So I just have lots of interests. You know what I mean? I like to do stuff. Stuff is fun. But that'll do it for this show. Remember until next time that the doctor is out of here.
Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon, is a production of drbillbailey.net with all the honors, rights, and privileges thereunto appertaining.